Welcome back to the Fascinating Jobs Podcast. I'm your host, Mackenzie Wilson. On this episode of the podcast, I'm sitting down with Stacey Taustein, a career counselor, blogger, and author of the book Without Tails. As always, please leave a review wherever you listen if you like this podcast. It helps us to get recognized. With that, let's get into episode number 6 with Stacey. All right, so hi Stacey, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Mackenzie.
No problem. I'm excited to get to chat with you today. So just kind of a base, how did you get into career counseling?
So like a lot of people, I would say my career journey has been non-linear. It's just all made sense to me. And so what I'll say is that I started out really with a passion for writing. I love creative writing, storytelling, sort of journalistic writing, and I went to school for journalism and really loved that part of it, but wasn't sure if, you know, I wanted to be on the evening news. And I learned more and more about myself in college and decided I wanted to go abroad. And so I went to Tanzania, where they took volunteers and took your resume and placed you in a role. And so what was interesting is that they assigned me to be a teacher, and that was not on my career path at all. And so it surprised me when I fell in love with the work. I absolutely loved teaching and realized that it was too late to change my major. You know, I was like, oh gosh, I'm a junior. What do you do now? And so that caused me to sort of go a non-traditional route to education. So I did a alternative certification program through Teach for America, and taught fourth and fifth grade for a few years. Absolutely fell in love with my students. I loved everything about teaching, but what I wished for more of was time with them to talk about life stuff, the things that wasn't in the curriculum, right? What did they dream of being when they were older? What lit up their hearts? What made them happy? I remember one day I asked one of my students, I was like, what makes you happy? And she looked at me and she's like, Miss T, nobody's ever asked me that question. It broke my heart. I was like, you know, how is it that we've made it to fifth grade and no one stopped to ask her, you know, what made her happy? And so I realized that it wasn't just her, it was most of us. A lot of us, you know, are in the business of doing and doing and doing. And before we know it, we turn around and are like, gosh, am I happy? I don't know. And so that, you know, put me on this career trajectory, I would say, towards leadership development and working with people around what they love, what they care about, and then how to be good at what they love and what they care about. And so I would say everything about my career is based on that. And so that's what led me to being a career guide. It was an opportunity to talk about all those things all the time with people who were curious about themselves and about what they wanted to do with their time. And so that's the long short of it, but it makes sense to me. And I always say there's always a common thread. And I think the common thread through all of my career lefts and rights is that people are always at the center of it. I love humans and I love life chats. And that's something that is part of my work no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting how you were kind of able to like combine your journalism background with your teaching background into kind of some more like niche area. So you were kind of talking about how you were mainly into journalism, and I noticed that you kind of have a blog. So is that a nice way that you can kind of write outside of your job?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think that's really one of the greatest gifts is learning that we're both people and professionals, and that we're allowed to have all of our interests at one time. And just because we don't do something in our 9-to-5 doesn't mean that we can't do it and highlight it and have it be part of us and our professional brand. Something I care a lot about is helping folks to combine the personal and the professional in a way that helps us walk through life being ourselves all the time. It could sometimes feel weird to have an outward face and an inward face. And so you know, my blog is out there in the world because I love to share my writing, and it's a chance to do more of that, like you said. But, you know, my coworkers all sort of talk about it with me over Zoom, too. And so it's a cool thing that I get to do and have in alignment with the work that I do during the day, too.
Wow, that is really cool. And I think that's definitely super interesting that you were kind of able to combine it with your day job and all sorts of different things. So, what would you say is your favorite part of your job being like a career guide?
I love seeing people exceed their own expectations. Like the feeling that I get when I find out from someone that I've been working with that they just, negotiated their salary past what they thought was possible, or where they land a role that they call it their moonshot company. I'm like, you shot for the moon and you caught it. What do you do now, right? But seeing people make their own dreams come true makes me really happy. And so I get to have that feeling all the time, and I crave it day over day. So I get to have that need met, and I love that I get to stay in touch with people and see them grow and flourish and continue to bring others with them. A lot of the folks that I've worked with reach back and say, "Hey, you know what? My company's hiring. Can I help out someone else who's looking for a role, or do you know somebody, who would like this? And can you put me in touch with them?" And so I really enjoy that part of my work that I get to maintain relationships and continue to know people. I have a habit of making friends with people that I work with, and so I get to say I have a lucky part of my job that I get to make friends all day.
Yeah, I think that's definitely really cool and definitely like interesting that they'll kind of come back and say like, "Hey, who would you recommend for this job?" So, kind of on the flip side of that, what's maybe like a more difficult part of like the career guiding process?
So I think being a career guide is very similar to other roles. Those who work in sort of counseling or therapy or education or any of the fields where you are giving a lot of yourself, sometimes you can get really invested and feel equally disappointed when something doesn't work out for someone, or really sort of overwhelmed by the amount of talking that you do in a day. I think there are days when I'm like, gosh, are other people as tired of my voice as I am of my own, right? I do a lot of talking, and so it requires me to have strategies to fill up my own cup, right? Like things that I do to make myself feel good so that I can come back and have another good day. And so to your point about my blog, writing is one of those things. Crummy reality TV are those things. Everybody has to have their thing that they do to be their best self. And so that's the only downside is that it requires me to manage my energy a lot.
Yeah, I think that's definitely like something that's interesting, and I think that's something that transcends into other career paths or even in school. Everybody just kind of needs that time to wind down, relax, and sometimes we don't always get that. And that's like the one of the biggest balances. I know I was chatting with another girl, I think from episode 2, and she was saying like kind of similar thing that yeah, it's like difficult to just kind of like find balance between like doing too much and not doing enough. So yeah, I think you make a really good point there. Kind of like talking about your blog a little bit and stuff like that. I noticed your motto is kind of, I woke up for this. So could you explain a little bit about that mantra?
Sure. It's actually it goes kind of deep, so I hope you're ready for this one. But I almost passed away in 2016 from what they call a spontaneous perforation. And so it was a really scary time in my life. I wake up very lucky every day to be here. And so I kind of approach my life and my work with this passion and commitment to the fact that I did wake up for this, for good or bad, right? I'm here and I get to do this second chance in the best possible way that I get to do it. And so I bring that to every single thing in my world. And it could range from anything like I woke up for this pandemic to I woke up for, this Nespresso coffee that I cherish every morning, right? Like there are things that I treat with a lot of gratitude because I feel really lucky to be here, and that's something that makes me stay committed to fulfillment. I think a lot of us can go through the motions of life. I think I did that at one time. I would sort of hold myself to perfection, and I would hold myself to these standards that were impossible to keep up with. And, with a second chance at life, I realized, it doesn't have to be like that. We can give ourselves permission to do the things we love when we want to, cherish the little moments, and not put so much pressure on ourselves because we can't really mess up. You know, I think there's this, you know, idea that if we pick the wrong job, we can't, you know, change our minds. Or if we, you know, went to the wrong major and we can't get back on track, right? But I believe that we have this life to live the way we want to. And there are ways to guide ourselves on that path towards doing more of what we love every day. And that's really sort of the background behind the blog and the reason why my job is very much aligned to my personal purpose of helping other people wake up for it every day.
Wow, that's a really inspiring story. And I'm so glad that you're okay and you've kind of made it past that. And I think that you make a really good point that it's important to be happy in what you do as well as be successful. And you talk about like changing your mind in your career. And I think that's definitely something that's scary for a lot of people because like maybe you need to go get more education. So what is some advice that you maybe have for somebody who wants to kind of have a career transition or they don't really like what they're doing?
Sure. So what I would say is, you know, there are things that we are deeply passionate about, and there's an intersection between what we're good at and what we love that's really special. I think a lot of times we end up doing things we're good at, but not maybe loving those things. And so if we can pay attention to where those things overlap, there's usually some sort of a secret sauce there that we can start to hone in on and then nurture, right? So if we start to think about the things that fall in that category, what are we already doing that sort of highlights those skill sets? So maybe it's a passion project, or maybe it's, in my case, a blog, right? Things that you're doing that showcases your passion and your love for those things. Start to network into circles where other people are doing those things and where you can share your work and things that you're proud of. A lot of folks can do this with a portfolio. And then where there are gaps between that that which you can showcase and the roles that you can apply for, I would say you can chip away at that by sort of pursuing the additional skills, right? So let's say you need a certification, or you need an extra certificate, or even maybe an additional degree. What, you know, I would say is, you know, determine your timeline, what it would take to sort of close that gap, and then plan for how you can commit to it. So, you know, it's different to need an entire master's degree than it might be to take a course online. And so I would say, you know, build that into your process, decide, you know, set some short-term goals and some long-term goals for getting closer and closer to where you want to be. But never forget to show value along the way, because you already have what you need. I think a lot of us feel like we can't start doing things until we have the certificate. But in reality, a lot of times there are things that we can already be doing to showcase our love and our passion for the thing that we care about. So I would say, similar to how you started this podcast, folks who know that there are things that they want to be out there doing, just get out there and do them. And then, you know, don't be afraid to fail publicly. I think that's the thing I know has held me back in the past. I always wanted something to be tied up with a bow or be done or precious or perfect before people got to see it. But at the end of the day, when you really want to make a change or a pivot or try something new, we have to be willing to maybe see the messier parts of that too.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a really good point that, you know, like you should kind of transition to something that you're happy, that you enjoy, and maybe you're already doing something that you enjoy. Like say you, I don't know, play tennis on the side, like you could still give tennis lessons. Like, so I think that's a really good point that you make. And yeah, just kind of like along the lines of like a blog or a podcast or something like that. I think there's definitely that fear in everyone, like, oh no, like what will other people think of this? But I think one piece of advice that I've always gotten is like, people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Best advice ever. I appreciate the reminder. It's so true. It is so true.
So kind of like, how did you decide to write your book Without Tails? Was that like a passion project, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so actually it's a perfect example of one of these scenarios. So in between my last role and working with Teal as a career guide, I was really going through a moment where I felt a little lost. There was this moment in time where I was deeply committed to doing the work that I was passionate about, but I hadn't found my place. I think a lot of us go through feeling mismatched to places where we worked, where maybe we didn't fit in with the culture, or the people there weren't folks that we would connect with, or we would feel left out, right? All the human feelings that we have. And so I was going through this moment where I was trying to get in touch with what I love and what I care about, and re-grounding myself and all of my reasons why. And so I sat down one day and just started writing the way I did when I was little. And my dad and I used to write books together when I was a kid. And so it was really an exercise in making myself feel better that turned into a sort of passion project that made me remember what I needed to hear when I was little is still what I need to hear as an adult, that some things don't change, and that feeling like a fish out of water doesn't go away. Sometimes that's something that we go through in adulthood too. And so I use that as a way to talk about that feeling of being left out or unheard or unseen through the lens of a children's book that I thought could be helpful to parents who are home and trying to work from home and work doing their full-time 9-to-5 plus taking care of their families. And so my younger sister, who is 11 years old, was over for a sleepover. And so we made it into a fun family project, and she did the voiceover for it. And it was a great time for us and a good bonding moment, and also a cool way to do a passion project that I had always wanted to do. I feel like I cared a lot about my bucket list, and that was one of those bucket list items. I had always wanted to write a children's book. And so that's the check mark that I got for 2020.
Wow, yeah, that's really cool. And I like love the story that you made it like a family affair, and you kind of like had your dad and then your niece help you that way. I think that's like really nice, and I think that's very interesting how you kind of put it through the lens of a children's book, because I think like a lot of us, you know, just think like maybe you should write a book for an adult, but I think like it's important to have like better children's reading out there, so that way we can kind of start adapting this kind of I woke up for this mindset as a child, and not like having to later learn about that as, you know, we're a teen or an adult. So yeah, and I think that's a really nice way to relate to others. So you mentioned that you were kind of writing the book during the pandemic, and it was kind of coming out then. So what was maybe the most challenging part of writing the book during a pandemic?
Ooh, baby, let me tell you, my partner and I were living in a apartment in Queens, New York, with no doors. And so it was me, you know, my partner Keith, and our dog Wander Pickles, and there's maybe, you know, 10 square foot extra that we were living in for about 7 weeks straight. And so, you know, when I was up writing late and keeping the lights on, he was trying to sleep, and it was one of those moments where you're like, gosh, you know, I picture things looking a little different than they do in this moment. You know, I didn't see all of this coming, and I woke up for this. So how do I find a way to be grateful when this is pure, you know, shenanigans right now? And so I think that's something I'll always hold dear. We're currently staying in New Jersey and have a little bit more space right now. So I think I feel a lot of gratitude for that. But in that little tiny space together, I think, you know, there's a lot of sort of memory and reflection that will come out of this long after. I think when I look back on 2020, it will mean something very different than what it does right now. I think it's a time where both my partner and I have been trying to fill up our own cups, to use this time of pause to learn more about who we are, to see what we're like in times of struggle and strife and lack of knowing. I think this time period is confusing because none of us know what's coming next. And the reality is that even in a pandemic, even when it's not a pandemic, we don't know what's coming next. We just feel like we do. And so I'm really trying to lean into that right now, is kind of learning from this moment and leaning on my friends and family and being there for them, so that, you know, we see this as time that we spent together intentionally, even if we couldn't control everything that was going on around us.
Yeah, I agree. I think that lots of people kind of going into this and maybe like March and stuff like that, we just felt like super unproductive. But I think that it's good way to kind of look at it and just be like, hey, I'm filling up my own cup. I'm doing something for myself. So, you know, even if you're watching reality TV or just watching movies late at night, like, it's just kind of a good, like, nice self-care way. I don't know how it's going to look in the fall and winter, but I mean, even with our school is crazy and everything, but yeah, I think that it's just nice to have something to come back to and to work on yourself, like a passion project or just relaxing. So yeah, I think that's like definitely good advice. So what has been the hardest thing for clients and stuff like that, finding jobs during a pandemic?
Ooh, that is even more unpredictable. I think this job market is a very difficult one. There are far more job seekers than there are jobs open. And so it's highly competitive and it's a lot of rejection in a short amount of time. And that never feels good to any of us. And so I think keeping cups full during a sort of a deep job search that, you know, has a timeline where folks are worried about paying their bills and supporting their families, the stressors around that are probably the most difficult part. I think, you know, we have really talented, incredible candidates who are out there looking for roles, but that stress could sort of overshadow anyone's best foot forward. And so I see a lot of people really, you know, sticking with it and doing the best they can to stay positive in the light of what's a very difficult situation and still to believe that they can find a job they love. I think there's parts of this situation that have folks feeling like, oh, like that's a pipe dream. You know, I just need to do something that will pay. But to see people still out there trying to do what they love and trying to contribute with their talents and their gifts is sort of reassuring, and it gives me the utmost faith that on the other side of this troublesome job market, folks will be doing great work and there's going to be cool new roles to be had. I see a lot of different solutions to problems that we haven't seen before. So companies are creating new roles and designing new roles, and folks are readily stepping into them. And that's really exciting when I think about, you know, what our job market will look like and, you know, the types of things that people will be doing. The remote job culture is actually something that I find exciting. Folks who are getting to do coding and UX and UI from home and contribute to companies from a distance and still be safe during this time, I think is really exciting. And, you know, it doesn't erase how hard it is, but it's something that I'm holding on to get us through this moment.
Yeah, and I definitely like think that's a super interesting perspective, just to kind of like keep holding on and just like to hold out for a job that you might enjoy more than a job that you might have to take. And I definitely agree. I think that the remote job market is opening up. I know my dad worked with somebody who's living on a houseboat right now, so.
Very cool.
Yeah, so lots of interesting jobs opening up. So what's been your strategy to kind of help people go through this?
Sure. So TLHQ, we're a brand new startup. We launched actually right into the start of COVID-19. And so our plans for helping job seekers changed drastically purely because of the timing. So we had kind of planned to be more one-on-one, but when we found out that so many folks were going to be laid off and needing help getting back to work, we sort of dropped that and launched a campaign to do 1,000 free spots in a program that we call Career Assist. And so we've had a lot of success helping get those folks back into the workforce, doing jobs that they love. And now we can continue to run programming for folks where they can join me for a 4-week course. It's twice a week for an hour, and we introduce them to a ton of hacks and strategies and new tech tools that they can use to sort of get around some of the challenging components of job searching. And then we talk together and do some group coaching along the way so that folks feel supported. They have a community that they're part of. The worst part of being unemployed, I think, is that you don't have coworkers and people to hang out with. And so the Teal community is kind of like your stand-in coworkers where we can all hang out. We can talk to each other. We have different activities virtually for people to network and do interviewing practice and things that will set folks up to be successful, and at the same time, it'll feel more natural. It's not so forced, and they don't have to be in like those icky, awkward networking situations. And so that's what I love the most about our approach to job search, is that it's inclusive, it's community-based, and it's a way to work smarter and not harder, because the job search takes a lot of work. And so that's our approach to it. And we've noticed that there are a lot of folks who are thinking about shifting careers. And so we have a new program as well called Career Shift that's targeted to support folks who need to maybe spend some time thinking about what it is that they want. And so depending on what folks are focused in on, we have a way to sort folks and help them be matched to the program that's right for them.
Oh, yeah, I think that's definitely really cool. And I think that's super interesting how Teal's kind of like a startup and that it was kind of like newer at the time. So, yeah, you guys kind of had to start through that. So, yeah, and I think that I'm kind of on your point with the Career Switch program. That's definitely something that I don't know that we have heard about a lot. So I think that'll be very interesting to kind of see how that pans out. And yeah, because I think that's something that a lot of people experience, but there's not been anybody there, kind of as you were mentioning before, like the community behind them saying like, oh, hey, like this is a good idea, you know, just do what you're passionate about.
Right. It's like you usually have to have those conversations with yourself, and you're usually ashamed to talk about it because it's attached to some sort of transition. I think our culture is kind of crummy in the way that we think of unemployment. You know, it's something that we've kind of associated with having failed or having done something wrong or something that we don't talk about because we feel like it should be private. And the worst part of that is that, you know, there are a lot of other people going through it at the same time. And so it doesn't have to be that way. It can be something that you have community around and where, you know, you can also celebrate each other when you're on the other side of that. And so that's what is special to me and what brought me on to the team at Teal, is because I think we are building something special. It's something different and something that I think was deeply needed for a long time. So I'm hopeful about, you know, what we can do if we're able to bring more people together.
Yeah, I think that's definitely very admirable, and I'm glad that you kind of were able to find a place there, because it seems like that kind of brings together lots of your different passions. And I think that's important, because if I was applying for a job, I'd want somebody who was happy with what they were doing and like kind of went through the same things that I did. So I think that one of the hardest like points at a career is just kind of starting. So what would be your advice to a high school or college student that maybe doesn't have a ton of work experience, but they kind of want to just get out there and start something? How would they kind of go about that?
Totally. I say ask everyone and try everything. I just worked with two interns this summer who are graduating from my university. So I went to University of Wisconsin, Madison, and two folks there reached out because they, you know, were looking to get experience in marketing and social media and, you know, just reaching out to an alum. I couldn't have been more excited to be partnered with them and to share mentorship with them. And, you know, having not always had the best experiences along the way when I was younger, it was that much more important to me to be the kind of mentor that I needed. And so I would say there are a lot of people like myself who want to work with younger people. We learn from younger people who are coming up behind us. I think y'all know a lot more than we do about a lot of the platforms, about tech, about strategy, and they taught me so much over the summer. And so I would say don't see it as a burden. I think a lot of us used to worry, like, if I ask for someone to teach me something, or if I, you know, show up to this, will they think I'm annoying? And the reality is, you know, most of us are wishing for that. Like, a lot of us really want to mentor people, really want to partner and learn with people. And so if there's someone doing something that you love out there, I would say don't hesitate to reach out to them. If you have a LinkedIn profile, it's never too early to start. Feel free to Slack me or find me on LinkedIn. I can, you know, give you any tips you need to get your profile in order. I think starting to have a professional vision for yourself and be willing to ask questions and informational interview is a great way to do it. So reach out to anyone doing anything you're interested in and schedule a quick, you know, 20-minute Zoom meeting with them to ask them about what they're doing, how they got there, if they have any advice for you. I would say, you know, 9 times out of 10, you'll get a great response. And for the one time that you don't, just let it roll off your shoulders and get back out there, because life's too short to miss out on all the fun. So I would definitely say don't hold back. If there's things that folks are interested in exploring, it's never too early to start.
Yeah, I think that's like a really important point. And I like the point that you make just kind of about like networking and like just kind of like going for it and reaching out to people, because I think that's something that is a fear that a lot of younger people have, like, oh man, like somebody wouldn't want to teach me that. And I feel like, again, like people aren't like thinking about you as much as you are, and they're probably not thinking what you think they are. And
I'm going to have to steal this advice for I woke up for this. I hope it's okay with you, but I'm going to need to explore this. People aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are thing. You really resonate with me on that one. I think that's so spot on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And I think that it's just like a crazy time, but I think that Zoom networking is going to kind of be bigger. So yeah, kind of what's your opinion on that?
I love it. I'm all for it. I think, you know, the only advice I have is to be more chill about it. I think people say like, let's have a 20-minute Zoom, but then they show up and make it super serious. When you say virtual coffee, you should actually bring your coffee, right? Like you should bring the mug and you should sip on it and feel like you're actually hanging out with the person. I encourage folks to bring back the coffee to the virtual coffee, because it's hard to be separate from each other, and it's hard to not have any of these real interactions. And so the more that we can emulate the ways that we felt comfortable and hung out in casual spaces, the more that we can connect with people in a low stakes environment. And so I say be creative with it and you know, leverage the fun that you can have with virtual settings. One of my participants put on like bear ears in the middle of one of our sessions the other day, and he got a big laugh out of the group. And it reminded me that not everything has to be so serious, right? Like even amidst the unpredictability and the stress of all of this, the little ways that we can be joyful and have fun with these virtual settings, the better it is for all of us, I think, because Zoom fatigue is real. I think those of us who are spending, I'm sure with classes and courses online, you can be spending a lot of hours at this computer. And so we have to remember that we're still human beings and we need a dose of reality every once in a while. Still, yeah. Like remembering to have snacks or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And this is kind of another conversation that we were having in a previous podcast episode, was just like taking Zoom breaks and how important that's going to be to the future of working and going to school and all sorts of different things. So I think I just kind of have one final wrap-up question. So how has kind of working online been more difficult or better? Like, how has it changed in your particular field?
So one thing that I'll say for myself is that I manage chronic illness. After the perforation and, you know, living with chronic illness is a challenge. And so the virtual environment has been very kind to me. It helps me manage my energy better. It helps me contribute more fully. I used to really struggle with a commute in New York City, and my body wasn't able to keep up. And so personally, I felt that it's enhanced my ability to be exactly who I want to be in the world. And I really want to uplift for anyone else out there who moves slower or has had other barriers to being able to participate equitably in our career culture, that this environment might be helpful to some of us. And so that's something I'm really proud to uplift and say that I'm grateful for. And I think that there are additional challenges that come with it for wellness across the board for other folks. I think, you know, people do crave real in-person communication. And so I would definitely say, echoing your sentiment around folks needing a break from screen time and needing to schedule vacation days or time off. I think a lot of parents and people who are taking care of families and family members need more room to get their time off in. I think just because people are in their homes doesn't mean that they should be plugged in, you know, 14 hours a day. And so I really value companies that are prioritizing the wellness of all of their employees and encouraging folks to get that time that they need to recharge and not treating it with like a punitive culture. And so I know that we try to lead inside out at Teal and model some of these things so that our participants can go out and seek employment where they can also live and work in harmony. And so that's something that I care a lot about, and I'm grateful to you for asking, because I think that's something that I'm excited to share with the world for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with a lot of the things that you were saying, how like it's important to kind of take that time and take a break. And I think that that is something, especially now working from home, like taking a vacation day is kind of different. Like, because if it is so easy to just kind of like go on your computer, like, why do you need a vacation day? But I feel like it's really important. And I think that's one of the things that maybe working at a newer company such as Teal might have the benefit of, is just kind of like going through and saying like, hey, what are the past mistakes other companies have made? Let's not make those. Yeah.
100%.
So yeah, I think that's a really good thing. And I think that's a good note to end our discussion for today on. Thank you so much.
Are amazing. Let me just say, you are phenomenal. That's the best interview I've had in a long time. And that's coming from a once journalism major. So thank you for your thoughtful questions and for taking the time to really see me and hear me.
Oh, thank you so much. That was like the best compliment I've like ever gotten. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know we're a bit newer, so it's difficult to kind of network at first, but thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This really means a lot.
It was my honor. Thanks for having me, Mackenzie.
A special thanks to Stacey for joining us on today's episode. You can check her out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Stacey Taustein, or check out her blog, www.stubbornheart.org. You can check out this podcast on Instagram at @fascinating_jobs_pod, Twitter at @fascinatingjobs, or our website, www.fascinatingjobs.xyz. Be sure to rate or review this podcast wherever you listen to let us know you're enjoying it. And if you or someone you know has a fascinating job, email us at fascinatingjobspod@gmail.com for a chance to be a guest on the show. Thank you so much for listening and enjoying this podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode.